Hello, I'm Chris Lisher, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Lisher, each Saturday live, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Contact Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Lisher. This is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. And we're going to go on quite an adventure today as we discuss the ominous topic of time. It's all about time. And that we'll be getting into that in a few minutes with my guest, Michael Galileo, who's calling in today. But before we get into that, I want to make a few announcements. I would encourage people to sign up for my newsletter because you can get free weekly horoscopes, which are incredibly accurate. Every Sunday evening, they'll get sent to your email box so that when you get to work on Monday morning, they'll be there telling you how to what's going to be coming up for you this week. The reason I say they're incredibly accurate is because if you take the time to research your rising sign, which you can do from my website, there's a box on there that says get your rising sign. If you click on that box and you enter your birth date, place, and time, you'll be able to get your rising sign. Your rising sign is different oftentimes. I mean, it can be the same as your sun sign, but usually it's different than your sun sign, in which case if you read both of those signs at the same time through the course of the week, you would be able to get much more accuracy with regard to your horoscope. It's incredibly accurate, matter of fact, because it gives you 80% more accuracy than you would get with just a simple, sun sign astrology. Sun sign astrology, as we all know, has been very limiting. As a matter of fact, it's been one of the things that has held back the world of astrology for many years because of the simple fact that it's too limiting. You know, it's not everybody who's a Cancer or a Sagittarius is going to be faced with the same situation. But when you amplify that by getting more granularity, which you can get through knowing your rising sign, then you have a much better chance of understanding the detail because it becomes more granular. You've got more information. You've got 80% more information. So I encourage you to do that. My website is www.chrisflisher.com, or you can also get there by www.turningofthewheel.com. And both of those will bring you there. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. And if you do hear this message, I encourage you to write to me and let me know where you're calling, hearing the show from. It's always interesting to hear where people pick up the show. I got a person the other day writing me from Hungary, which I thought was interesting, and another person from South Africa had written and said that they were picking up the show. So I'd love to hear that because I know that it's getting out there, and it's a marvelous thing to do, and that's one of the beauties of the web. It's an incredible amount of energy out there that we can pick up on. It certainly has made the world a smaller place in some capacities. Some people argue that it's alienated us. It's made us virtual people. It's sort of, encapsulated us into these tiny boxes. But I think there's an awful lot of good stuff to the web. So we have to keep that in mind. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Cardinal Cross, which is coming our way. There's an eclipse coming up this week on Wednesday, June 15th at 24 degrees Sagittarius. So mutable signs. It's a full moon lunar eclipse. Mutable signs of Gemini, Virgo, Pisces, and Sagittarius will probably feel it the most. Sagittarius will be the impact. And depending upon which house those parts of your chart are in would dictate where the activity would most likely take place in your chart. So, it's a very radical kind of information. It's the kind of information that will bring about a revelation of some kind. Roughly within 6 months or so, you might hear some information in one of those houses that you have. If you don't know where those houses are, the best thing to do is to contact me, which you can at chris@chrisflisher.com, and we will help you determine which houses have that activity in. The houses are like the stage settings in your life. You have your money sector, you've got your career, you've got your relationships, you've got your family. Each of those are called houses, and they're like stage sets in a play. If you walk into a tavern or you walk into a hospital on stage, that would be sort of like a stage setting. But in this case, if you walk into your house where your family is, that's your family house. That's your fourth house in the case of the family. Second house is the house of possessions and money. The 10th house is the house of career. All this can be found on my website, www.chrisflesher.com. If you go under astrology, look, learn astrology, you can understand the quick and simple aspects of what these all entail and how they interpret into your lives and how they can provide meaning, especially if you have an eclipse happening there. It's really, really vital. Anyway, all those things are great. And then at the end of the month, on June 25th, my good friend and astrologer Deborah Clement will be back on, and we'll do another episode of He Says, She Says, in which we sort of take the battle of the sexes through astrology and see what we can find out at the end of that whole thing. So again, contact me. Sign up for the newsletter. I think you'd be very happy when you do. You'll get great information there. I promise not to bombard you with too much information, just good, accurate information that's free and very timely with regard to how you plan your work. As I've always said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. It's a very, very critical piece of what it means to understand astrology. And if you know what's coming your way, you can be best prepared for it. And what better way to prepare for life than knowing what's coming down the line? If you know that you've got a Pluto transit coming through your family, obviously your family's going to change. That doesn't mean it's anything ominous. It just means it's going to change. Anyway, so the topic today is, the name of the show, the name of the segment for today is called It's About Time. And it is about time. And we're going to be talking with Michael Galileo, who has been on my show about 2 years ago. He came on, and he has an interesting take on time, and I want to welcome him to the show today. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
That's good. I'm glad I'm doing just fine. Thanks. So the topic of time is extremely relevant to astrology simply because of the fact that everything in astrology is based on time. The more accurate accuracy we get with the timing of the chart, the more accurate we get with the reading of the astrology. And when I look at you and what you've done with time, you've sort of taken the lay, a whole new concept of time, and applied it to a different perspective. You're sort of looking at time through a different lens, I would say. Maybe you could just explain a little bit what your view on time is.
Okay, Chris. I'd be happy to. First of all, time isn't real. It's an illusion. And most people, you know, will find that difficult to wrap their minds around. But time and gravity, neither one of them are real. They are not essential forces. I call them imposters because to us they seem real and they seem to control things, but in actuality they're just illusions. Time and gravity come from the same place that hope comes from. It comes from the continuum of an electromagnetic dynamic that has been occurring since the first moment of our universe, or what we call the Big Bang, and it has consistently created the evolution of evolving circumstances moment by moment from the first moment of this universe until now, and as it's continuing as we speak. It's just a vibration of electromagnetic attraction and repelling that's caused by the energy sources of the cosmic microwave background, the quasars, and the stars. Those are the power sources that run our universe, our perceivable universe. Our universe has two edges. It's not infinite as far as its body or volume is concerned. As far as its longevity, I won't speculate on that. You know, I'll leave that to Einstein and the physicists, how long this is going to go on and what the eventual outcome will be, either entropy or, you know, whatever. All the other options that they have at the end when the electromagnetic current either ceases to continue to exist or everything has polarized and magnetized to the point of basic void. You know, again, that's not my field. My field is kind of like I kind of feel like a little kid pulling on somebody's skirt because they see something that nobody else sees. And I've been yanking on somebody's skirt for about 10 years now, having totally seen this concept, just trying to be able to get people to try to take a look at it from my point of view. So, you know, that's kind of, I mean, I could go on as a soliloquy.
No, I understand, yeah.
People say, but that's the essential basis of looking at the way I look at time. It's not real. It's a tool. But just like any tool which we use to help us construct our realities while we're here as intelligence in this physical realm, but unfortunately, because of the choices that we have made since we became totally self-aware about 2.5-3 million years ago because of the ingestion of an amino acid protein, which we had never eaten before, and that caused the circumstances that allowed for the dual hemisphere human brain to grow on top of our mammalian brain. And when that happened, because of the duality and the contrast, we began to see things with depth of field and as objects. And that's when we realized our total self-awareness that we have at this point. When I say total, it's only total to this point. It's moved through reptiles and mammals to us. And, of course, it is moving now into the digital form. A lot of people are resisting, but, you know, I live in the Hamptons, and a lot of people out here, once they build their house out here, they don't want anybody else to be able to build one because they want it to stay just the way it is. And I kind of liken humans not wanting to see intelligence move on to the machines as having the same limited point of view. So,
the interesting idea is that if intelligence does move on to machines, in some ways that would allow us the ability to expand further because we wouldn't be caught up in the minutiae of what daily tasks can do. In some ways, that's what the digital age has done for us. It has eliminated some tasks. I would argue that it's complicated other tasks, but for the most part, it has eliminated a lot of the mundane tasks, which allow us to sort of spend our time in a new realm. And so that, you know, that barrier being removed, sort of like food, clothing, shelter, sort of working our way up Maslow's hierarchy.
Absolutely.
Gives us
lose the weight. We're going to lose the weight of our physical being and the confusion that comes from the layers of the mem. Because we're in a constant battle with all of ourselves, and of course we don't realize it. We get here and we're trained in moral systems that separate us from our mammalian and our reptilian self and say, you know, don't respond to any of those chemical impulses that you're getting from your brains that you've had for a couple of million years. You know, ignore that and do this. And that's where we get our stresses, because we try to put ourselves into a concept of what it is that we think how we're supposed to behave, and it doesn't represent and it doesn't take into consideration the fact that underneath it all, you're a reptile and a mammal. So once we move beyond the the physical form and into the form, and intelligence moves into the form of just moving through time and space as it is on the internet, because that's where we're going to be traveling. I mean, about 10 or 15 years ago, my wife said to me that she was explaining to me that the telephone companies were getting upset because long distance was going on the internet and people were making the telephone calls that way. And I laughed and I said, the airlines are going to have problems because eventually we're going to be downloading ourselves as information and using the internet as our superhighway. And my son is a computer guy, and among other things. And years ago, when he was doing that stuff, I said, please do me a favor and program it nicely, because that's where we're going to be living. And so far, all I see are strip malls and porn shops. So, you know, could we make it a beautiful place where we're going to be traveling? Because we've already created our first a virtual reality, and that's the world we live in every day. That's your home, that's your business, that's everything. It's not real. It's all a figment of our imagination accumulating since the first human thought a couple of million years ago. And this is what we've imagined it to be out of not knowing how it's happening. I mean, all along we're praying to false gods and everything else to try to get things to go our way, when in actuality, it just depends upon the decision you're making in the now that creates the future subsequent moments, because it's just an electromagnetic accumulation, and we've whacked that up into time. We see things, as having beginnings and ends, because we see things. There are no things. There's just constantly moving and changing energy, but because of our duality and the contrast and the depth of field, we see ourselves and everything around us as things, which it's not. We're all constantly evolving, but we're evolving at the same thing as speed as everything around us. So it looks like it's standing still.
But when people, say human beings as a species, when we look at something that is red, we all can agree on the fact that it's red, unless we have a colorblind or some sort of malfunction with our visual sense. So
really
we do
red.
Have a sense of understanding. There's a commonality there that would, if it is an illusion, which it could potentially be. I believe all things operate at a frequency. But if we all have that common view, we all have a common view, that must stand for something.
Well, yeah, we're seeing the same truth. we're calling it red in some places. You go other places, they have another word for it. You go someplace else, they have another word for it.
But
you
I know, mean, we're generally speaking about the same characteristic of what that color is.
And now you're getting to the essence. You see, to understand a thing, one must forget the name of the thing one is observing. Because mm-hmm. what you're seeing when you see a tree, and if you look at that and you say that's a tree, you're missing, you're just seeing the surface layer. See, everything to me appears as a metaphor. Because I see it as just a current state of its accumulation from the beginning of the universe till now. And that's really all anything is. So when we say that something is red, it's only because everyone has looked at it and we've kind of said that let's call this red. You know, Dylan said it a long time ago, you know, man gave names to all the animals. We gave right. names to everything because we gave names to ourselves. None of this is real. It's an ongoing moving dream that intelligence has created to have experiences. And for all intents and purposes, we are one intelligence experiencing it from, at this point, about 7 billion different points of view.
But there is a common thread. There is a common thread there. I mean, there's no question about it. People have agreed, whether they call it red or through some other language, which is an interpretation, it's going to have characteristics that are common to all human beings. So you could even say, you know, showing a bull red, for example, also elicits a certain response. There is a response that comes from that. So even if it is an illusion, it is a shared illusion across all of humanity, and which does give a definition, shape, characteristics. And so those things are necessary in order for us. I mean, we can physically reach out and touch something. We have the tangibility and the tactileness to be able to reach out and touch a table. That table may be a piece of solid thing that's operating at a frequency, but we can touch it. We can scratch it. We can sand that table. We can remove pieces of that table. So there is hard, fast tangibility to that, correct?
And that's what we're doing with every moment of our lives. Our lives is an ongoing body of work, and every moment we're making a choice that is causing it to become what it does. I'm not saying, when I say that, that doesn't mean that we have unlimited choices. By seeing time as a spatial entity and not as a real force, and that's all it is. I mean, you and I have had this discussion many times about mm-hmm. How a second is 18 and a half miles long. And the reason that is, you know, once we became self-aware and we finally said, okay, let's go. And time started with the tracking of the herds by the Ice Age hunters about 15,000 B.C., we finally, after a couple of million years of hunting and gathering, having come out of our Garden of Eden and set about moving around the planet, the Garden of Eden, of course, being the metaphorical bliss of not knowing that you were here and therefore setting about making something happen. I mean, if you want to know what we were like before we ingested that amino acid protein, just look at your cat or your dog when you get up to go out in the snow and you have to go shovel or you have to go to get to your show and the dog is sitting there on the couch looking at you going like, where are you going? Why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing this because I've created this imaginary reality that I have to get up and do. Whereas when you're a mammal, if you're hungry, you eat, and that's all you do. And so we've layered this on top of ourselves, and now we have to get up and meet each other someplace. And it started with the herds, like I said, with moon phases. Somebody figured out, you know what, we're going to have 6 moon phases, and these guys are going to come through here again, so let's all meet at this spot, and we'll get them then. And they said, okay, and they counted the moons, and they said, it's time to go, let's go meet and get that herd. And that's when we started using time to accomplish our goals. We subsequently have improved the system of time. We went from moon phases to in 4,322 B.C., the Egyptians came up at the first solar year because they noticed the pattern of the star Sirius appearing in the sky every 365 days in the same spot. So we started to have years. So by having years, you now have age. I mean, without time, you have no age. You have no reference point. But once you have a system of time to measure, then you begin to have age and things like that. So that's what was created with the system of time. It was also beneficial because it helped us build beautiful places that we could be comfortable in and have a nice life. So, yeah, I mean, from the beginning, there's been two schools of thought. We should not be building this Babylon, and we should just be staying in the garden, just look at the Rastafarians, that's basically where they're coming from. And then there's the capitalists and the industrialists that say, no, let's exploit everything that's here and turn it into whatever we can for our own for our own use. I put no judgment on there is no right or wrong, but thinking makes it so. You know, but so we've created this system of time, and we base everything on years. That's man's universal system of time. We use years to measure how big the universe is, how long we're going to live, everything. And a year is the amount of time it takes for the Earth to go around the sun. It's 584 million miles. We travel 1.6 million miles every day, and that's happening at 18.5 miles a second. And that is the flow of life on Earth. Now
again, let me ask you a question before you go further. Look at that concept of what you're talking about, which is the forward motion of energy going forward as we are whirling through the space, there is context to that. And the reason there's context to that is because we can look back in time. We can look at photographs, for example, which you could say is frozen time. We have a slice of time we can look back at. We can look back and say, gosh, that's what I looked like when I was 5 years old. We have digital recordings, or even old-fashioned recordings, which measure a space in time. So that time, even though you say it is gone, and there is a linkable measure of that and a traceable link back to that, and we can look at something that's hard and tangible and agree to the fact that it is hard and tangible. You know, like I said, we can say red, we can say table. We know those things exist. So for us to say that they're an illusion there's a sense of permanence to them.
If I can, but that's how deep the illusion goes, that you say we know these things exist. You are so convinced that a table is real and that red is real that you make the statement that we know these things exist. No, we think these things exist.
So Stonehenge does not exist?
Well, no. The elements that make up Stonehenge exist. The name Stonehenge does not exist. Again, to look at, to understand that Zen saying that I mentioned before, to understand the thing is to forget the name of the thing one is trying to understand. Because as long as you're seeing the name, you're not seeing what it is that's making that thing. And it's understanding the nature of a thing that allows you to see the possibilities. You're right. We use time as tools. We are constantly making choices in our life to try to improve our reality, just like you would be making a choice to improve that table. And I use that analogy in my teachings to people. I say, a table, and I'll take an object that we're looking at, and I'll say, this table is exactly the way it is because every atom of matter within this table is exactly the way it is right now. If I were to change one atom of matter in that table would be different than it is at this point.
I agree with you there. Yeah,
it might not be noticeable, but it would be different. And the more atoms I change, the more different that table becomes. Now,
yes,
we're doing the same thing moment by moment. Once you see each second is an 18.5 mile long now, and each now has different possibilities because everything is constantly changing. So the challenge is to see the now and the possibilities that exist and choose it then. Just like water coming through a hydroelectric dam, if you have a 72-year life expectancy, that's 2.25 billion seconds, but you only get them one at a time. So it's like a lake of potential. But it comes to us 1 second at a time. Again, it doesn't. Time isn't real. But for our minds, thinking, oh, I've got to get up and do something with my life, okay, if you're of that mindset, I mean, the Hopi Indians don't even have a word for time because they know it doesn't exist.
Okay, let me ask you this. If a second is 18.5 miles long, and if we were to send a spaceship into the sky that was 18.5 miles away from Earth in the direction of the trajectory of Earth's path, of Earth's orbit, they would conceivably be ahead of time.
Well, no, but time isn't real, so they're ahead of an illusion. They're still going to be affected by the electromagnetic vibration, and everything about them is going to constantly.
But if something were to happen, supposing something was coming through, hurling through space, a asteroid, for example, it's hurling through space, coming at Earth, and if you were in that spaceship out on Earth, you would be hit by that asteroid before the asteroid hit Earth. Let's just say you were in the pathway. Or if you're you're driving in a car and you see an accident and you see it coming towards you, you know that that is something that is going to be happening in your future. So you are ahead of time, right?
Right. And that's exactly right. Life is a river moving at 18 and a half miles a second. It's not a road that you can just take a break on. It's always moving at 18 and a half miles a second because it's a constant electrical current. That as ye sow shall ye reap. And this is why, because each moment's becoming the next based upon that electrical current. Now, we've created this system of time to help us work through this world of illusion and help us construct our subjective lives of our choice. But the problem is most people don't understand where it comes from. The clocks that we've been looking at our whole lives go in the opposite direction. Time happens in the opposite direction in the Northern Hemisphere than the way the typical analog clocks have been going. And time tends to confuse us at this point and just tell us where to be when and when to pay our taxes. And what I'm trying to do with my Earth clocks and my way of looking at this is help people get below that, get below the stimulation here, at 10 to the zero power land, and look where time's coming from. Because the universe is giving us everything we ask for. Everything we have in our life, we have chosen just to be just the way it is out of the possibilities that existed in each moment. Now, if we're not getting the results that we want, it's because the information that we have and the choices that we're making are causing our results to be less than their full potential. And again, I can relate this to the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers. I can apply that to the spatial dynamic of time through my sculptures and show you how each moment accumulates a total of all of the moments before. And the way to change what's happening is just like you would if you were on a river. If you're canoeing on a river, you pay attention. You look ahead. You read the river. Even if there's rocks or under the water, if you're capable enough, you can tell that there's a rock under that water just by the way the water is moving. And you can avoid
that
rock.
So there's a sense of predictability there. What I'm saying. There's a sense. Yeah.
But you have to really understand your river. You have to understand your boat. You have to understand and you have to be paying attention. Otherwise, you're going to go off waterfalls because you didn't see it far enough ahead to avoid it. But if you're looking far enough ahead and you understand the river and the nature of things, all you have to do at the right time is turn your little paddle a little bit and you totally avoid it. If you're not paying attention, before you know it, you're at the waterfall and you've got to make decisions and you don't have the right possibilities and you just... So all I'm trying to do is get people to see that constant moving dynamic, the 18 and a half miles, the consistency of that, and look at them, let them see that the results of their choice, of their life, is the result of their choices. And if they want different results, they have to look at things differently. The word sunrise and sunset are trying to convince us of the opposite of what's happening, every day. So you're constantly bombarded not only by the illusions themselves, but then they're being reinforced by authority that tells you what time the sun is coming up and what time the sun is going down. And that's just not happening. And it's the opposite, and that's why we walk around at 30 and 40 years old confused, not knowing what happened, it happened moment by moment, then you got misprogrammed from the time you got here, so you were getting bad information, so you were making decisions that you thought were right for what you wanted, but turned out to be, we've even created a term for that. They call it the law of unintended consequences, which I have to laugh at. It's just like, you weren't paying enough attention to know what was going on. It's that simple. So,
yeah, very interesting. We're talking today with Michael Galileo. Michael, what's your website again?
www.galileorealtime.com or just Google Michael Galileo.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. We're talking about time. And the title of this show today is It's About Time. So let's get back in about 2.5 minutes and we'll pick up where we left off. We have some interesting questions here about this concept, which has mystified man since time began. How's that? We'll be right back.
What is your destiny? Where are you going? What is your real purpose? Do you know? Do you want to know? Of course you do. It's your duty to yourself. We are all here for a reason, and we all have great potential. Discover all of this and more with a professional astrology reading. My name is Chris Fisher, and I can help you. Discover your strengths and work on your weaknesses, and live your life to its fullest capacity. Based on your birthday, birthplace, and birth time, an authentic astrology reading will allow you to live your life to the fullest and reveal your true purpose. Only real astrology can give you real information. It is your destiny, and it is your path. Write me at chris@chrisflisher.com and book a reading today. Or call me, 978-264-0668. That's 978-264-0668. www.chrisflisher.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
As the world shrinks and our barriers come down, diverse cultures are striving for harmony, balance, and peace. To ease the transition, we need to expand with color, light, and tolerance. Now, you can become a global citizen and embrace the color and clear spirit with the divine artwork of the mandala. Mandalas are a timeless artistic offering for creating unity, harmony, and peace. My name is Chris Fisher, and I've spent years creating mandalas, and they are now available online at www.chrisfisher.com. Come and experience the world of color, form, and function with t-shirts, coffee mugs, note cards, and limited edition prints. These vibrant, lively paintings and products express optimism, oneness, and spiritual balance for all who use them. At www.chrisfisher.com, www.chrisfisher.com, and enter a world of possibility and color.
Okay, we're back again here on Turning of the Wheel. My name is Chris Fisher, and the topic of the day today is time. Astrology is, as we all know, very much based on time. It's a singular, large piece of what astrology is all about, deals with the concept of time. So I thought it was wise to sort of delve into this a little bit further, you know, the accuracy. Now, with astrology, my whole purpose of astrology is to sort of take a people as they are born at a moment in time, and they have certain characteristics. That is what defines the astrological footprint or the fingerprint of the person. So my guest today is Michael Galileo. He's named after that famous scientist named Galileo. His website is galileorealtime.com, and you can understand some of his theories there. His purpose is to sort of help us understand the concept of time and how we have perhaps been misled by the concept of time and how we are perceiving it. We do have a sense of free will. And I want to welcome Michael back to the show here. And Michael, you know, this concept of free will, because, you know, if you think of time, as you've mentioned, as a continuum, it's a river, it's a stream. We can decide which way to point that boat as we're going down the stream, can't we? We have that.
We do. Ability. It's not a can. We do. That's what we're doing every moment of our lives. Mm-hmm. We are pointing our boat in every moment, thinking, I should go here. I should go to the store. I need to buy this. I need to do that. Somebody's birthday's coming up. I need to go get a... Every moment of our life, we are pointing our boat. So, yes, we can't not. The thing is, there is no neutral, and if we understand how it's going, we make better choices if we're not frightened by the illusions of time and gravity and age and all those other things, but yet just relax and be ourselves and enjoy our time on the river and pay attention and make it a beautiful place. And again, all we really need is good information. The universe will take care of the rest.
Well, you know, the idea of information is an interesting topic with regard to this as well, because I am a firm believer in that, in the collective consciousness, that we are all connected in some capacity, regardless of who we are or where we are on the planet. We are in some manner connected, and we share a common pool of knowledge from which we draw information. I think a baby born today is far more intelligent than a baby born 100 years ago, even if they were intelligent to begin with, just because of the data that they come preloaded with. It's almost like buying a computer with Macintosh OS loaded to it or Windows loaded. It is a inherently prepackaged kind of operation that we come with, that we operate with. Go ahead.
I can give you my take on all of that and how that, because it all reconciles right into this whole complete picture that I have with, and there are no exceptions to anything I talk about. It all works together. You have to understand what we are, first of all. We think we are real. We think we exist. We really don't. We're really a figment of our own imagination, constantly changing. We're just electrical energy. But we have a focus that allows us to view through sensory perceptions what it is that's going on around us. We're electric. And that's the reason for the differences in our beings through the gestation period to when we're finally born. your heart has five chemical nodes, which those chemicals come together to create an electrical impulse current, just like a battery does. And for as long as that electrical current is being produced by your heart, you are electrically powered up. You are connected to the grid of intelligence. The electrical currents coming from the cosmic microwave background, the stars, the quasars, your heart, it's all working together, and you are one with it. We are connected to it. The minute that heart stops, you disintegrate. The intelligence can no longer stay held within the being, and that experience is done, over with. So that's what's happening. Now, once you have that electrical current, going, and you're seeing the world around you and making the choices that are coming from it, when you're born. Let's start there. Again, I got a little off track, but again, my mind is going the whole universe, so sometimes I have to come back and focus. From the moment when you're born, you're like an iMac computer, and that's a perfect example. You take an iMac computer out of the box. It has a battery pack. You plug it in, and you turn it on, and it boots up. It has an operating system. Well, we do the same thing. You come out of your mom. You've got your heart going, electrical current. You pop out, and the first thing that happens when you pop out of your mom, which is the current method we've been using to this point, but that will change as well through technology. It already is. You have an intuition. Your electrical circuitry is going, and your intuition is giving you feedback. You're getting senses through your taste, your smell. They're not fully developed, but you're already taking things in, and you are responding with pure truth. You haven't been given any information at all. If you're hungry, you respond to hunger. If you're cold, you respond to cold. If you're comfortable, you respond to comfortable. You don't think about anything. It's complete, total response at that moment without any consideration of anything other than how you feel through receiving those sensations. Then what we do to the computer is we give it software. After it boots up, we start giving it information. We do the same thing with people. The problem is we give them bad information. We tell them the sun is going up and down when it's not. And we do this for a lot of years to give them bad information about the world around them. And then when they become a little older, we even affect their operating systems because, I don't know about your life. I know about mine and I know about some others. But, when you're younger, let's say, mom and dad are having a fight and you walk into the room and your intuition tells you there's something wrong and you're feeling that. And then they tell you, oh, there's nothing wrong. Don't worry. Go in the other room. So what they're doing is they're telling you, oh, all right, well, maybe I shouldn't trust that feeling. I shouldn't trust that truthful guide that's inside of me telling me exactly what's going on. These people are telling me I can't trust that. So they're telling you not to trust your intuition and your operating system. They're giving you bad programming. And then after 18 and 19 years, they tell you to go out and run your application. What happens? You crash and burn. Things don't work out the way you should. Why? Because your operating system has been depreciated and you have bad programming. That is the only reason that things are not working out the way they should. So, free will, which you mentioned before, and I smile whenever I hear the word free will. Free will is an illusion as well. I'm not saying that we don't use our decisions and our choices to create our life. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I am saying. That's what we're doing in every moment. When you say we can point our boat, I remind people, no, you are pointing your boat right now as we speak. Where are you pointing it? Because that's where you're headed, and you better pay attention.
You could argue that no matter what you do, the boat is going to be going there regardless, and that's sort of what I guess you're saying. But we do have the ability to make choices. I mean,
I'm saying the exact opposite. I'm saying your boat is going everywhere you're choosing it, just as we speak. So we are the captains of our own boat. There's no sense in complaining about anybody to anyone else about our boat not being where we want it to be. We have gotten bad information, and we haven't paid attention if our boat is not where we want it to be. And that's all I'm doing. I'm putting complete responsibility on the individual for the choices in their life. Now, I also give everybody, including myself, a break because let's face it, it's made a confusing place. It's like a house of mirrors. I mean, I was in my 40s before I finally had to really look at everything completely, all the way back to the beginning, and figure out how did I get where I was. The talking head song. You may find yourself, but once you do, when you realize that the reason you are where you are and you're confused is because, like a house of mirrors, you're in the middle of something that is showing you reflections. They're not showing you the truth. But if you look closely enough, you can see the door You can make out the difference from a door and a mirror. You have to be able to tell the difference between truth and reflection. And if you can tell the difference between truth and reflection or illusion, you will walk your path from beginning to end without any problem. And if you do have problems, if you're smart enough, you'll realize it and not continue to go down a path that your intuition is telling you not to take, but because it was depreciated when you were younger or you told not to trust yourself, you don't know what to believe. So you end up in some sort of a belief system or a religion that gives you a blueprint. Okay, look, you haven't been able to figure this out by yourself. So here, do these 8 steps, do these 12 steps, do these 10 things, do these, you know, and life will work out the way you want. And they're right to a large degree because at least it's a blueprint to rein in, the monkeys that have ingested an amino acid protein and are running around confused, you know, creating a world that they don't even know where it's coming from. And then having to live and metabolize the results of that world. Because the other reason that intelligence, kids are more intelligent now is not just because of evolution. Well, it's evolution because better proteins, better food, better nutrition causes better. A brain is like a muscle in your arm. The more nutrition and exercise you give that muscle, the more it's going to grow. If you don't use complex thought, if you use rote thought, if you don't have good nutrition, your brain and your intelligence is not going to operate as well as it could. And that's just true with everything. And everything is the quality it is because that's the quality that's being chosen. If you want to alter the quality of something, then you need to alter the environment that it's metabolizing so that it improves. And that goes with a thought, a person, a garden. It doesn't matter. Right. Everything works that way. Everything.
What about the concept of empirical data? When we have empirical data is obviously a collection of data that allows us to come to a conclusion based on a repeatable sequence of events. When we look at that and we know that let's just take the sun rising and setting, for example. We know through empirical data and careful observation that sun is going to rise and set every day. It's going to get lighter in the morning. It's going to get darker.
No, it's not, Chris. We know from empirical data that the earth is turning around. It looks like the sun is coming up.
Well, okay,
that's what I'm telling you. That's exactly what happened to us. And that's exactly, and that's the point of view that everybody has, and I'm sorry, you're wrong. And I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong. I'm trying to help you understand why it is that things are confusing. And
this is a good way to get the conversation started,
right,
and I'm
exactly.
happy to do this. So what I'm saying, okay, maybe that was a bad example. But
no, that was a perfect example.
Well, for your case, yes. Yeah. If we have a empirical data that allows us to say this, if we do X, Y will happen, say, for example, okay? So as a result of that, and we see repetitive examples of where that works, then we would say, okay, this is a way that we can dictate the outcome.
Environment remains the same. Because if the circumstances are changing, the same choice won't be a good choice. I tell people, if you're walking across the country and you have to, and you're going through the desert, you better have a good pair of boots on your shoes, on your feet.
Okay.
Because you're walking through sand that's 120 degrees, those boots are required. But if you keep walking across the desert and you come to the east coast of the United States and you keep walking into the Atlantic Ocean, at some point you better take those boots off. Because if you don't, they're going to fill up with water and you're going to drown. So now, is it a good choice to be wearing boots all the time because they protect your feet when you're in the desert? No. And that's why seeing each moment and the possibility in each moment and looking ahead will offer you the opportunity to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And it was Benjamin Franklin that said that first.
I would agree with that. Okay, supposing we're making brownies and we know that we need to put an egg into the brownie mix. If we don't put an egg into the brownie mix, that brownie mix is not going to be good.
We have
instructions that say this is how we make brownies.
That's right.
If we don't follow those instructions, because it's been based on empirical data and experience, we're going to make a mistake. We're not going to get the results.
Your brownies will be less than they could be.
Exactly.
Right.
So that
exactly.
we've made a choice at that point in time that allows us to do that. So in time, we have said that we have accumulated data that says this is a repeatable sequence of events. If we follow this repeatable sequence of events, we will get a predictable outcome.
That's right.
The outcome of this predictable outcome
will
be.
That's
beautiful
right.
brownies. Okay. So
that's a universal promise. It's a promise. You do it right, it's going to come out right. If you do it wrong, it's going to come out wrong. And if you want it right or wrong, which is really just either the way we want it to be or not the way we want it to be.
So that involves a choice whether to use an egg or not.
Right. We're making choices in every moment. So how are your brownies? That's what I'm asking. I'm asking everybody to take a look at their brownies. How are your brownies? Are your brownies just the way you want them to be, or are they not? Because if they're not, then you're not paying attention to either your oven temperature or the ingredients that you're putting in. There's something that you're doing wrong that's making those brownies not be what you want them to be.
When you relate that to time, we're going through a series of steps that are repeatable. That's what I'm saying. So it may be a different day of the week. It may be Friday that you're making the brownies, and they may be different than they were when you made them on Monday, or they may be exactly the same. Some places create food that's exactly the same regardless of the day that it's made. Mm-hmm. And so there is a repeatable consequence, the repeatable outcome, mm-hmm. and it's done, it's made regardless of the time.
Oh, we count on time and gravity constantly, and I'm not saying don't count on time and gravity. Go ahead, use them, but understand what they really are so that you can use the tool properly. If you're building something and you have a tool that you don't understand how to use, either your project is not going to come out really the way you want it to, or it's going to come out less than it could be. If you're a master and you know your tools and you know your materials, you're going to produce a masterpiece every time because you're going to make the right choices. And if you understand where time comes from and that it's not subjective and somebody's not pointing a finger at you, but yet it's an electromagnetic dynamic that you'll find at the basis of all metaphysics and alchemy. I mean, this is the basis of the Pentagon. This is the basis of all physical matter. It all ties together from time to physical. It's all one, and it's all becoming what we choose it to be. And we use our minds to envision possibility, and then we choose from that to create the world around us. And what I'm like, it's... Your brownie analogy was perfect. If you don't like your brownies, there's something that's... It's not the universe. It's not God. It's not...
Of course
you
not,
do
right.
something. If you did something wrong, it has something to do with the brownies, not something else in another room of your house, in another one of your houses. It's in your process. So
right, you know, and so that was my point. That was exactly my point as well. So you say that... So that's where free will comes in. We have the choice to make the brownies good, or we have the choice to make the brownies bad.
Right,
we can't get mad at the world because, it, you know... I mean, obviously, you could say if you take a brownie mix and you go up to 14,000 feet, your mix is going to be different.
Right.
But that has to do with your free will of making him up there.
Well, here's where we get to why I smile about the word free will. It's not that we're not making choices that we think are our own free will in every moment. That's you know, especially in the United States of America, that's what we're based upon. Thomas Jefferson set this country up on democracy based upon the same metaphysical formula that I'm talking about for time. He used it for government. Your Constitution is based upon the same concepts that I'm talking about in time here. And that's why he built Monticello. Monticello is a metaphysical representation of the Fibonacci recurrence series of whole numbers interpreted through architecture. Now, what I do is I take that formulation and I can apply it to the spatial entity of time. But no one has ever identified time this way. If you go back in history, they have the god Kronos, and the god Kronos is the god of time. And for generations, they've been looking for this. And what I've finally been able to say is, right in front of our face, to say, well, look, it's really this simple. If we're going to use this system of time to quantify, to use to build our lives, well, then let's get this right, you know, and say, okay, this is how it's happening. It's electromagnetic, and each moment's becoming the next. And you can apply those same principles of building. Building and architecture that creates perfection in the pyramids, because Frank Lloyd Wright was doing the same things as the Egyptians, and the same Stonehenge is just a big calendar to mark the change of things. But you know, once you see the metaphysical underpinnings of how all this physical stuff becomes real from our minds, you realize that the choice we're making that we call free will is really just what we think is the best choice. Now, why do we think that's the best choice? We think that's the best choice because of our experience and what we've been told. And if you have been told the right, so no matter what, that's the choice you're making. So now, do you really have free will if you are compelled to make the choice that you think is the best choice based upon the information that you have? There's nothing creative about that, but yet we call it free will. That's the will that that has evolved from us. That's the perspective that we have, and we think that we have the right to go ahead with that perspective. And you know what? We do. And we call it free will, just like we call something red and we call a table. But in effect, those are just human labels for the essence of what it is that we're talking about. So when I laugh about free will, it's not that I don't think people are choosing with free will their lives every day. And like I say, and you ask anybody, how are your brownies? If you like your brownies, then you're doing well. It's like an Easter egg hunt life. Each moment's becoming the next. It's getting warmer or it's getting colder. Is it getting warmer or is it getting colder? Are your brownies good or are your brownies bad? And then here's the math formula to show you why, so that you don't go pointing your finger at other things instead of taking care of the circumstances, which is increase your awareness, understand the truth of the things in your reality so that you can better understand and work with them to help you create a better world around you. And, you know, just... get it right. That's all.
So that's what I'm saying, I guess, is that we do have the ability to forge the because time is a continuum, and because mm-hmm. time is a massive database of experience and mm-hmm. experiential data, we yep. do have the ability to say, okay, well, this second that just passed is gone. We're never going to get it back, and all of history is contained within that second. But the second to come, we do have free will over how we decide.
That's right. But the second that it's the second that you're in that you need to act. It's not the second that's coming ahead. That's the second that's coming ahead. But when it gets to you, or you get to it, actually, it's coming to you. That's the beauty of this too. We don't have to go anywhere. The universe just keeps giving us new seconds, like a fresh river that comes through a polluted lake.
But if I decide to go to school in September, that's mm-hmm. going to be a decision that I'm making to go to school in September. Let's say I'm deciding to go to college in December, or anybody. Right. Mm-hmm. They are making a choice, and they're setting things in place today to make sure that that does happen.
That's right. We're planting the seeds of the future. Yes, it's in the thought process, but then the action has to take place. But then the action has to take place in the moment that it can. If you delay, if you procrastinate, that possibility is gone. It may never come again. So, you know, you just have to be paying attention to what's coming in the now, and then be able to act in the now to make the choice, and then the next moments become automatic. It's like
so
I tell people.
So we plant a garden. We plant a garden. We go out and we plant a garden.
You
and
are
we,
planting a garden, right?
We put the seeds in the ground, and we hope to see results as coming out the other end. And we do. We typically see results, and we can monitor that, and we can see that, and that happens through the passage of time. Time's passing on.
Jesus in the Gospels of Thomas, Jesus explained it to the disciples very simply. He said, "Look, if you're carrying a vessel with mustard, you know, with seeds in it, and it has a crack in it, and you don't notice the crack, and your seeds fall out, well, first of all, when you get home, you're going to have an empty vessel, and you're not going to feel too good. But then along the way, if the seeds that fell out of that vessel, if some of them fall on a rock, they're just going to wither and die. But if other seeds in those vessels fall in fertile soil and they get the proper nurture, they will turn into great things for you." So it's all about that. It's about paying attention to your seeds. Where are you planting them? What kind of conditions are they in? Are you watching
every
day? That's
free will.
Know what they
need? That's free will.
That's right. Do you know what they... Well, it's paying attention and then making the right choice. Now, if you want to call that free will, so be it. I wish that that was everybody's free will.
Well, we do have the choice to go left or right. We do have that choice. You know, we could be standing at a crossroads, and you know, like the scare. You know, Dorothy on the road on the
road.
That's
right. No, Wizard of Oz is great. Great. Yep. You got to have courage. You have to have courage. You have to have brains.
You have to have heart.
You got to have heart, brains, and courage. No, it's all wrapped up right there. The MGM gave it to us in 1939. This Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks. Groundhog Day by Bill Murray. I can't tell you how many movies out there show you the metaphysics of what's really going on around us and the choices we're making and the results that we're getting.
Well, I mean, Groundhog Day is a very good example because, you know, making bad decisions, we're going back and repeating them over and over again, or he was repeating them over and over again. That's an interesting concept because of the fact that we're looking at the motion of time and, of course, being able to repeat them. It's like, gosh, how many times would you love to run your tape back and re-record what you're doing or not doing, right?
Well, you have to give that up because any time spent thinking about that is not paying attention to the future, the moments that are coming out of the future.
People say,
where did the time go? I said, look, if you're looking to see where the time went, you're looking in the wrong direction. Turn around and see where it's coming from. Then you'll be able to affect something. As long as you're looking back wondering where it went, you're not paying attention and you're both
going right
off. Well,
it's not that you have to look from where it went. You can learn from where it went.
Oh, we do learn if you're paying attention. And if you're really getting to, you know, shoveling a glimpse into the ditch of you know, what these things mean, our mistakes, the things that didn't go right, you have to be able to do your own inventory and soul searching and look at the choices that you made rather than looking for scapegoats and reasons why it wasn't your fault, which is what people tend to do. I know, before I got enlightened to all this stuff, I went down all those roads. And I'm sorry, I'm saying the word you know over again, but... that is the truth, and you know, we are choosing it. We consider it free will. You just have to be paying attention. Every second is 18 and a half miles long, and the one that we're in right now just went past. We're in the next one, and if you're not looking ahead, you can't possibly, you know, see what's going on in order to make the proper choices so that your boat goes where you want it to go on the river and You have a good
Yes, trip. And you know something? This is being recorded. This show's recording. This is going to go up on iTunes, and it's going to be sitting there, and we're going to be able to replay that. People are going to be able to listen to it again, as will you, as will I. We can go and listen to this again so that we are going to be able to have that ability to capture time and freeze it in some way.
And that's why I'm on the show with you now, because this is the moment in which the possibility exists for me to express this perspective for others, for them to consider, for them to possibly alter. And just by having this conversation, we have changed the world. And I know people will be looking at things, questioning things from a different point of view. And that's all I really want to do as an artist, is I want to get people to stop from the illusions and the conventions and take a look at things from a little bit different perspective, because the more points of view you have, the better choice you can make. You cannot get a boat.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I tried to do.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
It's very much the case. And I think it's important to be able to allow people to understand that and to be open to the possibilities. My guest today – we're running out of time, Michael. My guest today has been Michael Galileo. His website is galileorealtime.com. It's an interesting concept about time. It's a lengthy discussion we could have, and I would love to just continue it further. But unfortunately, we're out of time as a result of the concept and the conversation about time. So anyway, we've got to go. I will talk to you all next week. Michael, thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it very much. We're out of time.
Great.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fisher. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisflisher.com. That's www.chrisflisher.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 978-264-0668. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.